Hello and welcome to In Depth. That is the PFA. Wow, PSA program. I'm not used to talking, even though I do it for a living. This is Ian Sorensen, your host, and two wonderful guests in the studio right now, Lori Nichols and Andrea Inman with the Nevada Division of Child and Family Services. How are you both?
Doing great.
Yeah, we're doing awesome. Thank you for having us.
It's such a pleasure. And you're kind of, we're going to be kind of discussing a variety of topics that you guys deal with, but we're especially addressing the need for foster parents in Nevada's rural communities. That's kind of the focus. So, Lori, tell me about that.
Right. So, our region is the 15 rural counties in the state. So, every county basically in Nevada, except for Washoe and Clark counties, are what we cover. We have such a great need for foster homes of all different shapes, sizes, makes, models, yeah. Rainbow of colors, cultures, race, ethnicity. We need a foster home that is going to meet the specific needs of every child and every sibling group that comes into custody from Elko, Nevada to Pahrump, Nevada, and right. everywhere in between. So we just simply do not have enough foster homes here, and that's why we're here to spread the word.
Definitely. So why do you think that is, as far as why we're so low on...
I think there's a lot of negative information out there about foster kids in general. I think especially our teens get a bad rap. I think teenagers get a bad rap anyway, regardless of whether they're in foster care or not. And I think there's cases that maybe are publicized that kind of blow up that stereotype. And so I think it's just important that people understand these kids are like yours and mine. These kids are kids you see, you know, at school plays and in the library, and they're good students, and, you know, some struggle with school, just like ordinary kids. And I think that is the biggest barrier, is that, you know, people have a hard time with the thought of parenting somebody else's children. And it is a tough job.
So definitely.
That's understandable.
But when it comes to these kids in rural communities, are they going through, I guess, different, I would imagine they're going through different circumstances than if they did grow up kind of more of a city-based
I think the majority of cases that we see are neglect, and there's usually a multitude of different reasons why kids come into care, but neglect is a big one. And so when you're out in these rural communities, I mean, obviously methamphetamine, opioid abuse, things like that are going to contribute to neglect of these kids. But certainly, you know, whether it's, you know, populated areas or rural areas, whether it's, you know, rich neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, I mean, child abuse and neglect happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't discriminate.
No, it doesn't. That's a good point. And I think we need to address it, and hopefully people are listening and maybe they can get on board with this. Andrea, so what is your kind of your position? We were going to talk about safe haven. That's one of the things we were going to talk about. What is safe haven, in case people don't know?
Yeah. So my position is I am a child protective services supervisor with the Division of Child and Family Services. Safe haven is a law that's in place that establishes a safe process for parents to leave an infant with an emergency care provider. It is without an obligation to return to care for the child and without an obligation to disclose identifying information, background information, and medical information unless the parent voluntarily chooses to do so. The safe haven law also establishes immunity from civil and criminal liability for persons who take possession of an abandoned infant. So this happens in the first 30 days after an infant is born. They can deliver their child to an emergency care facility such as a hospital, a fire station, a police station, or a location such as DCFS. Mm-hmm. In Reno, it's Washoe County. In accordance with the safe haven law, and they wouldn't be criminally prosecuted for doing that. I think it's also important to understand that it allows for it to be anonymous and it still keeps the infant safe. I would encourage anyone for additional information or questions to reach out to their local child welfare agency. It's a law that's not only in place in Nevada, but also in many other states as well.
Okay. And what brought this law about? What does it kind of address? I guess.
So it addresses specifically infants that are abandoned. You know, you hear about cases such as the recent one in Georgia where a baby was dumped in a field. And this law is in place to prevent things like that from happening.
Right. Okay.
It provides a safe way for the child to be dropped off with someone without having any kind of responsibility left on the parent.
Okay. Interesting. So, that's kind of on the forefront of everyone's minds with this recent case.
Right.
And it is on the books for our state as well.
It is.
Okay. Very good. So while we're on the subject of your job, what is your kind of day-to-day? What are you seeing?
Well, my day-to-day varies.
Yeah,
there
is
no,
it is.
There is
it does,
no typical I mean. Day in child welfare.
Okay.
You never really know what to expect. And when you come in, you know, it could be a quiet day or it could be completely chaotic.
Yeah.
It's kind of a job where you have to just know that if you have to have an organized, laid out schedule, it's probably not the job for you.
Yeah.
So
you're just it just varies from every time, right?
Correct. It can be very fast paced at times. You know, we have different response levels that we respond out on reports. And so we could have a day where multiple reports come in from law enforcement. And so those reports are ones that we respond to immediately as soon as we can possibly be there. So
all right.
We cover three counties out of the Carson City office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys, and then you mentioned earlier, you guys cover everything except Clark County and Washoe County, right?
Right.
That's a wide swath.
Right. And we're in the same office. And we see these kids, you know, we see when they come in for visitation, we see when they've just been removed. It's extremely traumatic to them. And that's why it's so important to have a local home that can keep kids in their communities so that they're not isolated from their friends, their family, their school,
right.
Their science project that's due the next day. I think about my kids and what would happen if my husband and I could not take care of them for whatever reason.
Right.
They could not stay in Carson City together. They would have to be moved to a different county. So
wow.
They would have to go out to Fernley. They would have to go, you know, potentially to Dayton. And while to us as adults, okay, well, you know, at least they're safe
mm-hmm.
and they're in a home they know that's going to protect them and keep them safe. But to them, they are on a different planet.
Yeah.
They are
they
on
really
a
are.
Different planet when you think about it and how kids are so acclimated to their environments and structure and what they're used to. Even kids that have been in neglectful and traumatic types of environments, they kind of know what to expect because that's what they've been, that's what they have adapted to that.
Okay.
And so really for us to move them into a totally different town, I mean, it just triples that trauma that they experience.
Okay.
And I think about my kids when that's what keeps me going in my job. And I think, man, it would be devastating for them to be separated.
Right. And so the siblings, I mean, you have certain brothers and sisters who don't necessarily stay together.
Not always.
And
in some situations, it's better that they be separated. But more often than not, we're doing everything we can to keep these kids together.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, Douglas County, Story County, I don't think we have any foster homes. Carson City, parts of Lyon County, our district covers in our office. I mean, we just simply we don't have the homes.
Yeah.
We have even Austin's house, which is the emergency shelter in Douglas County. That's full.
Okay.
And that's not even the best. I mean, Austin's house is amazing, but kids need to be in a home environment. They need to be
right.
in a family foster home and, you know, so that they can start kind of acclimating and getting used to their surroundings and try to rebuild some of this, you know, what they've gone through and try to heal from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just don't have the homes.
Okay. Well, other than the stigma associated with maybe foster children, what are there any other barriers kind of stopping rural communities from really getting going with this?
You know, to be totally transparent, the licensing process can be daunting.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people will stop because there's so much that we ask
But there's a reason why you ask.
We do. You know, and we're trying to move into the 21st century with trying to do things better, you know, making the licensing process more efficient. But, you know, we move at a slow pace, and mm-hmm. that's what state agencies do. But it is getting better. Okay. But, yeah, there is a lot to consider when you're getting licensed.
Okay. Well, if there is anyone listening right now, which I hopefully there are plenty, what do they need to do to even get the process started?
So they need to call me, Lori Nichols, and my toll-free number is 888-423-2659, or they can go on the dcfs.state.nv website, and then they can find that number on that website as well.
Okay. So they get that process started. I guess what are some steps that you can kind of lay out for people?
So the first step, we do a little phone interview. And that takes maybe 10 minutes. Of course, I'll explain the licensing process to folks. Then they will get their application in the mail. And so they'll fill that out. Then we'll get them scheduled for a free training that the agency provides. It's 27 hours, and we're in the process of revamping that too. But then once they go through the training, they'll get their background check paperwork. They'll get that completed, submit it, and then that's when we start the home study. Okay. So it's, again, there's a lot to it. We try to, simplify it, but it's still a lot.
Yeah, I know. But there's a reason for that. You got to make sure these are good homes and good people that these kids are going to.
Right. And there's a pretty extensive home study process where we come out, we'll interview every adult in the home, depending on the age of the children. We'll ask them questions too. We go through people's histories, how they feel about discipline, their marital relationship. I mean, there's really no question off the table. We do what I call, getting all up in people's business kind of thing. So, and people understand there is a reason for that.
You got to get it. Yeah, you got to get that, to understand
that. Well, and the main thing, too, is to make sure that whatever trauma, because life inherently has trauma. We've all experienced trauma.
Right.
But whatever that is, that's not going to negatively affect how you parent traumatized children. And that's what this is all about. It's not about excluding people that have had their own traumatic histories. It's making sure that that traumatic history doesn't negatively influence their parenting.
Okay.
Or trigger them because they're seeing behaviors in a child that's gone through traumatic incidents.
Okay. Well, then people should definitely call you. What's the number again?
It's 888-423-2659, and that is my direct line.
Okay, fantastic. Andrea, anything you would like to get out there that maybe I haven't touched on?
I would just add, as the assessment supervisor and someone that places children on a regular basis out of our unit, the need is definitely there. It's a grueling process when we don't have homes and we're trying to keep kids as close to their home as possible. We have to provide visitation for parents while we work reunification. And when we don't have homes available in the area, it makes it a lot more difficult for visitation and things like that to occur. So if you've ever considered it, I would strongly encourage you to contact Lori and check into it a little bit further.
Okay. Very good. Lori Nichols and Andrea Inman with Nevada Division of Child and Family Services. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.